On to item 11. I might make your time up. Item 11, trustee reports. I would, I know we just had Sackers, so, and John's voice is.
Unfortunately, with apologies, I did write my notes up and they are sitting home in my desk.
Well, you know, that's a safer place. I left my wallet in Orange County when I left Thursday night, so you had better success with your notes. So.
It should be noted that John seldom uses the dog eat my homework.
Yes. So if somebody, I think only one of us should probably try to summarize Sackers, if anybody wants to take a shot at it. David? And there's a time limit.
All right. Some notes that I took. On disability, they're seeing more and more cases associated with long COVID. And one of the challenges is establishing causation. And there used to be a presumption that that's not in effect anymore, so. But long COVID is real, has impact. And the affiliates session, they're discussed public and private markets. They felt like the upward trend in public markets was sustainable, but that's kind of a question mark, especially in the last few trading days. They were bullish on innovation with technology. They saw Japan as having good tailwinds. And currency, they have a negative view on the dollar. Finding dollars, that's an impact. We see an opportunity in small caps, especially in international small cap and space investments. And private markets, they liked the returns from emerging managers. But we've discussed this before, and part of the problem with that is being able to invest at scale. So, and if you were to group emerging managers, I mean the high quality ones, then you would be creating a fund of funds, in essence. So, but still something to consider. A discussion on affordable housing. This is attractive because there's very high demand and high occupancy rates with very long wait lists, like years, 3 to 4 years. The industry is supported by tax credits, so it's viable or helps them with their bottom line. And you would expect core plus type returns. Expectation is for high single, maybe low double digits in returns. There's a long discussion about total portfolio approach. CalPERS just switched over to that. And maybe sometime we can discuss that further, what it's all about and so forth. I was reading some material on it, and they want to get away from strict asset allocation to create some flexibility in looking at the overall portfolio, but there's still asset allocation. So CalPERS is doing this now. They just voted to do so. And they state that it allows for more dynamic and adaptive response to market volatility and risk. And then regarding retirement security, the changes, they do research on the value of public pension plans. And they noted that changes in pension plans are associated, well, negative changes in pension plans are associated with increased turnover in the workforce. So they highlighted Alaska as an example that converted from defined benefit to defined contribution. and their ability to hold on to people is terrible. And I believe they're switching back to DB, or that there's plans. They say DB plans are much more powerful at retention. Retiree healthcare is also very important for retention. And the thing is try to get away from turnover, because the cost of turnover is very real. Some other side notes. General Carrillo spoke, and one of his main points with respect to stability, he talked about geopolitics, and with respect to stability in the Middle East, he said that the ouster of Assad was a big stabilizer for the region. We'll see how that pans out. Katrina Hooper, market strategist on the U.S. outlook, seeing economic headwinds are tariffs, immigration, and government spending cuts. So with tariffs, you have uncertainty and risk of destabilization. With immigration impacts, you have increased labor costs. And she felt what's driving the economy now is primarily AI CapEx spending. She stated that the current GDP is around 4%, but 92% of that is AI spending. Without that, it would be about 1%. The other important driver of the economy at this time is higher income consumer spending. And so that's helped prop up the economy, but there's vulnerability there when you rely on these folks to keep spending and spending. And actually, I think a recent article said that that spending is starting to go down. So I think I will cut it at that. But it was I thought it was a very solid conference with some very good content.
David, first, any thoughts on the energy presentation?
He was asking you about the energy presentation.
There's an energy presentation. Any feedback from that? Energy.
Energy. Yeah, energy.
Motivational speaker.
Or that you mean Newt's, or?
That was the second speaker, I think, on the first day.
The motivational speaker.
Oh, the motivational. Oh, okay. When you say energy, I'm thinking solar way. So, yeah, the energy speaker, she's a motivational speaker. She was pretty good, actually. And I think her main point was that, aside from all the other talents that you might have, or knowledge or skills or whatever, your presence or sense of energy and how you engage with others and so forth, it has great impact. And so she said, if you have a great energy presence, actually, you don't need as much in the way of skills or knowledge. And you motivate others to kind of go along with what you're thinking.
I was scared to death she was going to energize Petrina more than she was.
I bailed on about the last 10, 15 minutes of that. It was just like, it was over the top.
Too much energy. Two comments I wanted to add to that.
Sure.
First, on the general. He ended up emphasizing something I thought it probably all of us know intellectually, but I thought it was a great thought to just have in the back of your mind. And that is that when you complete meetings, and much of today's and work on the world is meetings. Make clear what it was you agreed on.
Yep.
Make clear what the direction was at the end of the meeting, as opposed to the meeting just coming to an end. Which I thought was, that was a takeaway for me. The other was sexual harassment. And one of the things I didn't realize was that California does not allow employers to have drafted trans males cannot be precluded from using female restrooms.
Right.
I had never heard that.
Yep.
Anyway, just in terms of takeaways that I remember in that notes.
Yeah, so I'll add just a few comments, ditto what was said. I just want to make a general comment about the conference and the content. It was eclectic, I guess is how I might describe the content in terms of the main presentations each day. What struck me though was sometimes I feel like we stray from the core purpose of being there, which is primarily the administration of our California public pension systems, right? The motivational speaker in a way was an example of that. I'm not criticizing, I'm just making an observation, right? It was a little bit unusual in that sense. What I concluded in my own mind is that it's hard to have a conference in a sea of conferences that occur, and I'm not talking about client conferences, I'm talking about association conferences, and to be able to come up with lively topics for 1 or 2 hour sessions for 3 consecutive days, it's tough. I thought at times it got a little thin in that regard. I'm not trying to criticize, I'm just making an observation. It's tough. I wouldn't want the job. I know you did it, right? And I attended under your tenure, and I actually thought that the programs were better the year prior, just from the standpoint of substance and content. And I just think it's getting tough to try to find topics to repackage them or to take information and to try to put it in a different way to find it educational. I mean, the breakout sessions are one thing. John and I were in the sexual harassment training. I had my, biennial scare me to death presentation about what not to do. I don't know how anybody would do anything in the workplace. You'd be better off, working remotely 24/7, right? Stay out of it. It's very sobering to have that presentation, and it's useful. And I thought it was well done. On the other breakout that I attended, which was the trustee breakout, and I think, John, you were in that one.
I was.
Yeah, you were on the left side of the room. What was interesting was it was a panel of 5, and I had maybe a different expectation because you had a bunch of seasoned board chairs from various systems who were presenting. What I thought was interesting was I didn't, and I'm not going to say I didn't learn anything new, but I really didn't. What I did hear though was this contrast, ultimately leading to one trustee criticizing the other system's system, who still picks horses in terms of manager selection. So there was this lecture that happened between the OSER's chair and another system about if you're a fiduciary and you're still in a meeting listening to presentations from managers and picking horses, you're in the dark ages, is what got said. And that was sort of the highlight of that breakout session, me going, oh, wow, we've seen this movie, right? We've sort of been there, done that. So the point is, that was really the level of topic and conversation that was occurring. And again, it goes to it's hard to get a bunch of people in a room, a bunch of trustees, particularly ones with experience, and then to be able to present content that is engaging and new and fresh and informative. It's tough. And so there's a lot of retreading, I think, that goes on. That's a challenge for SACRS, I think. But all in all, as always, it's the
communication and the interaction outside the sessions that probably matters the most. And I had an incredible lunch with the chair of the Mendocino County Board of Supervisors, who's now a new trustee in that system, and he was having first-year experience, right? He had never been a trustee before. Experienced guy, elected, right? Several terms, gets on the trustee position on the board and realizes the learning curve is like this, right? So we commiserated for an hour, but it was fascinating to hear his story. And so I got a lot out of that interaction and some other ones. So as always, the conference, the interaction is probably more important than the presentations themselves.
So yeah, I think it's a challenge to balance entertainment value and, you know, hardcore educational, and how do you get the right balance there? And how do you command people's attention and keep them energized throughout the conference? So it's always kind of a juggling act, and I always emphasize during my term that I wanted kind of cutting-edge topic discussion. What's the latest investment thing going on, and you know, and then also governance issues and stuff like that. So we'll see how things progress. But the relationship building and checking in and all that stuff, very, very important.
Yep.
And I was a speaker at the new trustee or new attendee breakfast on Wednesday, and emphasized that people understand how we are able to accomplish what we accomplish. Where we have this obligation, we're paying out. And that's a critical responsibility that we have, and it's honorable and worthwhile. But then how do we pay for it? So discuss member contributions, sponsor contributions, but then also highlighted the importance of our investment returns and how people need to be aware of what's going on in that realm, and try to understand it as best as possible. So that was a very well attended breakfast there. I think there were 70 first time attendees at that breakfast.
And that's so good.
That's strong. So yeah. So yeah. Some good things, some kind of lighter weight things that can be worked on. And, but criticism is fine.
I don't want it to be criticism for criticism's sake. It's really trying to be constructive, because it's such a challenge. I can see how difficult.
I think criticisms are important. I see them as constructive feedback. So, yeah, thank you.
There you go. And then let me ask Mike, if you don't mind, to give us a short breakdown of the business meeting, and we'll pick it up. Yeah.
Well, the only thing of consequence that really concerns us is the legislative vote. If you recall, back on November the 5th, we discussed the fact that SACRS had 6 legislative proposals, and we discussed what those are. I won't go into them, but the board decided that out of the 6 proposals, 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6 would be something we would vote yes on. However, number 3 felt that there needed to be some more discussion or some changes there, and that was due to imposing a 10-year limitation period on the collection of overpayments due to fraud, and that there was a concern and no specific language regarding limitations for that period. CC of the SACRS board wanted to see language such as a section that applies to legal actions filed by the system from the time of discovery, and it does not apply to how far back collections go, which overpayments can occur, i.e. if the system has been overpaying for 25 years but files a collection legal action within 10 years of discovery, it should be made clear the system is not limited to the recovery to only 10 years. I believe both Karen and Christina had several discussions with Eric Stern, the chair of the legislative group for SAGRs, advising them that we would like to have the vote separate so that we could vote yes on 1 and 2, 4, 5, and 6, and no on 3, and a clarification on why we would have that vote. I had a discussion with Chair Gordon prior to the vote, and he felt that he may not have been quite clear enough as far as his concerns about the particular number 3, and gave me a note that would give me an opportunity to make it a little clearer on what our position was. I gave this to Karen, she read it and approved it, and also Christina was aware of this particular change. So what was read to the board at that time was that number 3 should amend the section to add that the statute begins to run from the date the system actually becomes aware of the fraud or theft, and alternately, considering amending the statute to explicitly state that there are no statute of limitations for fraud perpetrated against the system. And at the very least, there should be some additional discussions, you know, about that particular issue.
Yeah.
Eric Stern basically did his proposals and then asked for questions, which I made our position known, and after that, it was pretty much, well, thank you very much for your comments, and please sit down. They then decided to vote for all 6 in a group. There was no, they didn't do it singly, and there was a move to approve a second, and it was voted on 18-1, which was, I voted no because I was instructed to vote no on 3, and I couldn't vote no on 3 and yes on the others. So that's kind of where we were. And
yeah,
so
no,
it passed 18-1.
No, I appreciate it. And we did have a chance. I think it was Wednesday morning. We got together, and something that wasn't entirely clear, and I was trying to remember the discussion we had at the board meeting, was that the base case for anybody who wants to sue somebody else based on a statute or a regulation is that there's a default 3-year statute of limitations, right? It's the action founded on statute is the words of the code. So you and I talked about that when we had breakfast, and we're trying to figure out how maybe to frame the comment, which is what I ended up handwriting out on a towel. And apparently it didn't resonate, and that's okay. I mean, there's a different way to maybe come at this. I'm a little concerned at the dismissiveness of the desire to at least want to break it out and discuss it. You know, we may only be one of 19 or whatever, but, you know, with the roles reversed, I'd like to think I might have entertained that thought. So I'm putting a pin holder in that one for future thought and our interaction with SACRs. But, you know, we'll give it more thought, and, you know, we might have to reframe it, take a look at what the statute looks like at the end of the day or what bill gets introduced, and we can always participate in the legislative process as well. We have that ability. So, still got options. Anybody else on SACRs?
Safety group met. People are talking about doing the drop programs again. San Diego just had their Board of Supes do an actuary on that and sending it to the retirement system once that gets done to look at it and do their own actuary on the drop system, which was interesting. I went to that crypto breakout session, which was interesting. It's still risky, they're saying, and the reward is not worth the risk, but they bring up a point that crypto started, they did a political action committee, the crypto, and they raised $197 million for the last election. and they spent $133 million of it so far, which is interesting, just crypto money going into the election.
So, and is that a nationwide number? So,
like, yeah.
Interesting, yeah. So they're anticipating.
That money went in there. It was like, And they say you got a lot of venture capital going in to start early stages startups, and a lot of them are failing. So
maybe not a surprise.
Yeah. Like they said, the risk is not worth the reward.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Any other SACRs, comments, presentations? All right. Hearing none. Any other board reports? That was sort of the SACRs part. Yep, not hearing any. All right, so let's go to staff reports, Christina.
So yesterday we had our second employer workshop. We started this last year, so it was our second annual one. We invited employers to the conference center downstairs and did a half-day workshop on some retirement topics, including investments, retiree return to work, disabilities, employer audits. We talked a little bit about the employer portal and preparing employers for that. We had about 30 attendees. The surveys were very good on it, so we'll continue to do those workshops and continue to focus on topics that we think maybe the employers could use a little bit more education around. I'm working on the 2026 committee dates, so you're getting emails. Some emails have already started on the audit committee dates and the investment committee now that the board has adopted the 2026 board calendar. So see those emails, and we'll try to get those kind of figured out before the next board meeting, and then they'll appear on the calendar in the packet. And on December 19th, we're going to do our staff annual luncheon. And so there will be more information to follow on that if any trustees would like to attend. And that's all we have for staff reports.
Excellent. Tim, Karen?
No? All right. What's the question? Did anybody attend the disability training this time?
Yeah, I did.
Did they have anything that is of our concern about disability retirements? When I went there the last time, all they talked about was people with disabilities that were retiring. It had nothing to do with our issues with dealing with disability retirements. And I'm wondering, did they change that up? I didn't do it this time, but
the focus of the discussion was long COVID effects on disability cases. That was a little focus.
Okay, because the time that I went there, they were focusing on people with disabilities and getting them retired and through the system, retirement system. And it wasn't even close to what I had in mind that it was going to be.
You're talking about the challenge of the application and
right.
Ferreting out the issues, right. And dealing with it?
So I didn't know if it had changed from the time that I went or not.
They talked about this thing that some more and more systems are dealing with COVID effects, and then we went through the exercise of case study, and then we broke up into groups and said, okay, what do you think? Are we going to approve this or not, and based on what, and so forth. So it was a good exercise of what the systems go through in considering disabilities.
Yeah,
it's more practical.
Yeah. Try it again next time.